VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today here on VCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, so much has transpired since our last program just before Christmas. And we have this vehicle bomb, this RV bomb in Nashville, with authorities seeking to ascertain the motive, things going on there. Evidently, the perpetrator, the one who caused the explosion and took his own life in the process, we're told, is one who said that Nashville is going to remember him. Nashville and the world is going to remember him. Well, that's transpired since we last met. We have the president who cast a veto to the defense bill, but he signed the so-called COVID relief bill. He has pledged to use the Impoundment Control Act of 1974 to cut the wasteful spending of this bill, sending a redline version back to Congress with a formal rescission request. We'll see what happens there. We've got Congress again voting on more funds for the American people. Then there's the Georgia election coming up on Tuesday, the certification in Congress on Wednesday, regarding the electoral vote and whether there will be a showdown or not. We've got Rudy Giuliani over Christmas saying that election fraud-related issues will blow up after Christmas. Bad choice of words, my opinion, with considerable movement happening in various battleground states. And all of this front and center is the happenings going on. But there are other matters also looming, which may not be so front and center, but are just around the corner, should a Biden administration come into being. We've already warned you and conducted a full program on a plan by Secular Democrats of America, which is a direct assault on your religious liberty, their plan for a Biden-Harris administration. The landscape of our nation would never be the same if their agenda is carried out. We've also informed you regarding the Human Rights Campaign and their agenda should a Biden administration take over, and their push for LGBTQ plus indoctrination, acceptance, and promotion, along with the so-called non-discrimination with such things as the so-called Equality Act. This agenda is out there. But there's another agenda you need to know about should a Biden-Harris administration come into being, and it's an Islamic agenda. An agenda recently put out by CARE, the Council of American Islamic Relations, on what they call restoring the rights of American Muslims and advancing justice for all Americans. It's a 38-page document, some 33 initiatives. Well, joining me today regarding this push upon a Biden-Harris administration, we welcome back Shahram Haidian. Shahram is a former Muslim from Iran, came to the States in 1978, committed his life to Jesus Christ, started the TIL Project, the Truth and Love Project that exposes the true goal of Islam, the threat of Sharia in America. He has served as a pastor. He's been a police officer. He ran for governor in the state of Washington. And Shahram, so good to have you back with us on Crosstalk.
Jim, great to be back with you, and I pray everyone had a blessed Christmas, and looking forward to 2021. See what the Lord has in 2021.
Indeed, indeed. Well, Shahram, this document's called the First 100 Days Biden-Harris Administration, Restoring the Rights of American Muslims and Advancing Justice for All Americans. It's put out by CARE, and before we speak about some of the agenda items, let's first define who is CARE.
Well, Jim, that's a great question. That's really the main focus of this is who is CARE? Because the fact that CARE is becoming so mainstream, we've gone a long way from 2008 to 2020. In 2008, CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, that is a front group that is started by the Muslim Brotherhood, the same Muslim Brotherhood that was deemed a terrorist group in Egypt and in the United Kingdom and other, in the United Arab Emirates and by other countries. This organization, which was about to be indicted, CARE, as a co-conspirator in the largest terror financing trial in American history, Jim, the 2007 Holy Land Foundation trial in Texas. All of a sudden now, under an Obama administration, when we have a change of administration, becomes front and center in forming U.S. policy on dealing with terrorism and jihadism. And they were able to infiltrate the national security apparatus of our government thanks to Robert Mueller, the head of the FBI at the time, thanks to Eric Holder, the head of the Justice Department, and of course, Mr. Obama himself. And they gutted, Jim, they gutted our national security apparatus. And they have, even though they are an unindicted co-conspirator, continue to educate and do training for law enforcement, for members of Congress, for members of state legislatures. And so we're talking about Hamas. CARE is Hamas. Right. And yet this is the same organization that in places like Minnesota were brought in to, the head of CARE Minnesota was brought in as on the advisory team of the incoming Governor Waltz in 2019, and now Biden, who spoke to members of this community like CARE, he gave a video just a couple of months ago to a group called M-Gage, where he said that I want Muslims at all levels of my administration. So this is part of the red-green access that we have talked about that is working to sabotage our nation, and this document is stunning. It's a stunning document with how detailed and specific it is and how brazen it is in what their demands are.
So, friends, that's what we're going to be uncovering during this hour here today, and I want you to know this, that the people are lining up at the door of a Biden-Harris administration, should things go that direction. When all is said and done, following the vote coming up in Congress next week, the certification of the vote, and we, you know, all the issues that we've talked about here on the program, but people are lining up at the door. We talked about the Secular Democrats of America. We talked about the Human Rights Campaign. Today it is CARE, Council on American Islamic Relations. As Sharam is saying, we could call them Hamas CARE in that regard. So, Sharam, we've got several things here. We've got CARE, and they list several things in their document. They're one of the things they're pushing a Biden administration to honor a pledge to end what they call the Muslim ban on day one. The first day that he would be sworn into office, they want to see an end to what they call the Muslim ban. Your comments on this?
Well, first of all, let's be very clear. There never has been, nor is there, a Muslim ban. This is part of the propaganda
Yes.
that CARE and the left and the media have continued to use to paint Donald Trump, to paint any of his supporters, to paint those of us who are concerned about, you know, terrorism coming into the United States, terrorists and jihadists coming and killing us, which has, you know, not 100% to do with religious motivation, but in the case of Muslims, we know throughout the world that there is a religious motivation for their actions. So what they want to do is they want to, you know, they've painted this narrative. There is no Muslim ban. The president specifically targeted initially seven countries. Yes, they're majority Muslim populated, but these are seven countries like Iran, my birth country, that is a known sponsor of terrorism. And so Biden, what they're pushing Biden to do is on day one, basically invoke a new executive order, because President Trump issued those travel bans through executive order. So they're wanting him to remove any blockage there. And here's another part of this, Jim. Not only has that travel ban helped to stop attacks on our soil, I mean, where have been the attacks since 2017? They've been limited. We've seen very little activity because we're limiting the number of people that are coming in. And secondly, it's also limiting the number of refugees that are coming in because of the fact, like in Europe, where many of these refugees are coming in and they're committing acts of jihad. So this has been very effective. The extreme vetting has been very effective, which is, of course, another thing they call for in this document to end all aspect of quote-unquote extreme vetting. So what their demand is here is propaganda, because there is no Muslim ban, period. These are specific bans on countries like Somalia that are known to produce jihadists. And also like Syria, there's no vetting, meaning we were struggling with vetting people that were coming in from, for example, from Syria because of documentation issues, because of the fact that there was no paper trail, because of the fact that there was no birth certificate, there's no ID or their, you know, their scans for, you know, ears and fingerprints and all these things. So it is just outrageous that they keep calling it this. And of course, Biden is going to oblige. Mm-hmm. He's already said he's going to do it.
We see also with this, Sharam, that they want to do away what they call the Terrorist Screening Database, the TSDB. They want to dismantle the Quiet Skies Passenger Tracking Program, even want to end the FBI's use of informants to spy on American Muslim communities.
Well, let me address the third one first, because one of the most effective tools, and this was happening in New York before de Blasio came in as well, Jim, one of the most effective tools was law enforcement agents going undercover to infiltrate, jihadi cells, terror cells. We know this with Hamas cells. We know this with Hezbollah cells. We've seen this with in other countries with ISIS and al-Shabaab. And here in the United States, it was a very effective practice of ferreting out jihadists, those who were preaching violent jihad against non-Muslims. Well, since that has been changed in New York and done away with, you're going to see actually more radicalization in the mosques, because that was keeping the mosques from radicalizing individual, particularly young men. And CARE wants to do away with that, which is very dangerous, and the left will oblige. Then they want to do away with what they call, what Trump has set up, called the Targeted Violence and Terrorism Prevention memorandum from the Department of Homeland Security. And the reason the TVTP was important is because under Obama, there was something called countering violent extremism. And the violent extremism narrative was basically trying to paint the picture that it wasn't jihad that was a problem. It wasn't Islam that was a problem. It was white supremacists.
Yes.
It was right-wing, neo-Nazis and right-wing extremists who their definition of a right-wing extremist is you and I and the majority of the crosstalk audience. So the fact that CARE is pushing on this is again, very dangerous for the national security of this nation. And then, by the way, the Quiet Skies, this was a very effective program in making our airline travel safer, and they want to do away with that when you have at least 100 people that are on the no-fly list and are on the, I should say, sorry, I apologize, on the terror watch list, Jim, over 100 people that are working at airports, Muslims who are on the terror watch list who are working at airports. These are the kind of things they want to do away with, which would fundamentally put the United States and American citizens at risk of further jihadi attacks.
It's very interesting, because they say that this watch listing system, they say, is demonized and stigmatized the Muslim community. And they also do not want this watch list to go out to other countries. I mean, they want to get away totally from this watch list.
Well, again, while I will agree with the one part of it is that I do believe that there has to be a more robust process of putting people on the watch list. You know, mm-hmm. I've always felt that it's very easy to put people on the watch list with very little redress of us being able to, if one day they put your name and my name on the watch list. However, the reality is the reality. The majority of terrorist attacks are carried out by Muslims. That's just a reality. That's a fact. And so we have to have measures in place to be able to keep an eye on those who would cause problems. And the Muslim community should do more to police their own people.
We're going to take a quick break here. Sharam Hadian is our guest. We're talking about the Islamic agenda, the first 100 days under a Biden administration. We'll be right back.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, did plants evolve?
Chris, according to evolution, both plants and animals evolved from an original single-cell organism which itself came from non-living chemicals. If you look in a book on plant evolution, you'll see many references to plants changing into other types. But when you look for the evidence, you'll be disappointed. Now, there is a lot of evidence that plants have varied over the years, but did they evolve from something else? We have lots of different kinds of algae and ferns and flowering plants, but no clue that any of these basic categories evolved from another. Each were created separately, just like it says in Scripture. In Genesis, we read that God created each basic type after their kind, not by changing one kind into another. Face it, Chris, evolution didn't happen. Now creation, that happened. And we read about that when we go back to Genesis.
Thanks, Dr. Morris. This is Chris O'Brien. Thanks for tuning in.
Yes, friends, there are many things that are front and center in the news today. This is not one of them. This is the 100-day agenda that's being pushed by the Council on American-Islamic Relations upon a Biden-Harris administration. If that takes place, day one, they're pushing for what Sharam addressed. They're calling it a Muslim travel ban. There has never been such a travel ban in our country. But nonetheless, this is top and center of their agenda. And they've got a multiple-page document that they have put out for the Biden-Harris administration. Sharam, let's hit another aspect of their agenda, and it deals with the matter of immigration itself. They say they want to end what they call bigoted and discriminatory immigration policies. They want to see a reversal of the restrictions on the ability to travel and migrate to the United States. Even refugees themselves want to increase the flow of refugees from admitting no more than 15,000 under President Trump to at least 125,000 refugees under a Biden-Harris administration. Let's talk about the bigoted and discriminatory immigration policies they seek to undo.
Well, the first policy they want to undo is, we referenced it earlier, was the aspect of what the Trump administration called extreme vetting. And the whole aspect was the fact that we need to understand people who are coming into this country and understand ideology, understand there are those who are coming in that are against America, that are against our Constitution and our rule of law. And so the extreme vetting process was to try to ferret that out. And I would say it's been very successful. It's been very successful at being able to weed out those who would want to come and not assimilate. This is the problem of the Obama era. Basically, a Biden presidency, Jim, would simply extend 8 years, disastrous 8 years under Obama presidency for opening us up. And so extreme vetting has been very effective. Also, limiting the number of refugees to come into the nation. As you mentioned, the president has brought it down to the goal of 15,000, although some estimate this year, obviously because of COVID, that it was way less than that, maybe like 8,000 or even less, although there was obviously a lot of closed borders with other nations because of COVID. But we have to understand that when it was really cooking for them under Obama, his last year, they targeted and brought in over 100,000, somewhere close to 110,000 refugees, the majority of which at that time were coming from Syria, from Somalia. And all you got to do is look at Western Europe and look at places like Cedar Riverside in Minneapolis, St. Cloud, Minneapolis, Detroit, Michigan, Hamtramck, Michigan, and look at the problem with refugees. Mm-hmm. When they're coming in, number one, they're not assimilating to our values, our laws. Number two, many of them, like in Minneapolis, are living off welfare. They're draining our system. This is what they did in Western Europe. They devastated the coffers of Western Europe. And then number three, as I mentioned earlier, you have the element of the jihadist element. Now, I'm not saying every single one that's coming in, but even if you have 5 or 10% of those coming in, maybe even higher, that are becoming radicalized, quote-unquote, that is very dangerous when we see, let's not forget the Paris attacks on the theater in Paris back in, I think it was 2015, wasn't it? I'm trying to remember the year now. Yeah. But those were carried out by refugees that were in Denmark, in obviously coming across in France. This is very problematic, and it's no surprise that CARE would push on a Biden-Harris administration to say, let's revert back and even go higher, even bring in more, when we are already decimated in this nation with our economy and with what's going on. It is going to just create us into an absolute welfare system, total socialism, communism, and that's why you see CARE and the Muslim Brotherhood supporting the open socialists and Marxists and communists who are in our government now.
We also have with that what they want to halt the detention of asylum seekers. Now, we know through past reports that there would be a word that many would quickly learn. It's the word asylum, you know, coming across the border, asylum. And under a previous administration, they would be released in society, come on back, and, you know, we're going to hear more of your case. But under a Trump administration, they've had a detention center. You're going to wait until these hearings come up. We're going to make determination for that. And this is something that CARA is calling for. It halt these detentions and just allow asylum seekers to have free reign, throughout the country.
Well, absolutely. And let me address a backstory. Number one lie, right? Number one lie is that Trump was putting children in cages in these asylum seekers. That was a lie we knew because it was Obama who built the cages. So that was the first lie that we got to make sure we address. And the left has done an amazing job of perpetrating that lie, even to the point where there are many social justice warriors in our churches, Jim, who are believing that lie, that Trump is a xenophobe and that those who support Trump, we all support children in cages. But there is a massive problem with the open borders and with asylum seekers, because as you said, when as Trump has said this, they want to end catch and release. The idea is that when we catch these people, whether they do claim asylum or not, they're released into the country until their hearing comes up. Well, the staggering statistics are that over 94% never show up for court. So when they have the hearings, the majority of those that are released never show up for their court cases. Meaning what? They've now gone dark. They're now underground. They're now illegal and undocumented in this nation. And it is further building up that populace within our country, which the left loves, because those are the same people that they allow to vote illegally. Those are the same people that in the COVID Relief Act are getting more money. Did you see that the other day? That they're actually,
yes,
they qualify for more money,
yes,
than the $600 that we would qualify for. They qualify for $1,800 because of the loopholes. So, again, this would devastate our economy, but it is a existential threat because you don't know where these people are and they don't come back. So when Trump says, let's hold them, detain them until the hearing. Yes, we need to have expedited hearings. I think that I've agreed that we need to have more immigration judges and expedited hearings, but they must hold on to them, because the reality is the majority will never show up for their hearing, will never be accountable, and now you're perpetuating an illegal, unlawful class in this country, which law-abiding citizens abhor, the left would love.
Shahram Hadian is our guest here today. His website, TIL Project, that stands for Truth and Love, TILproject.com. And so another aspect here is this immigration, and from their document, they want to create a pathway to citizenship for all undocumented immigrants residing in the United States. We're going to move on to another area, though, and Shahram, you've got a police background as well. One of the part of the 100-day agenda here is countering what they call racism in policing, and they remove discriminatory loopholes and federal guidance regarding the use of racial and religious profiling by federal law enforcement agencies. What about this aspect of policing?
Well, let's be very clear what they're saying. So CARE has been very opportunistic, right? Because we saw them marching on the streets after George Floyd's murder. And it was a murder. I think we all agree that was unlawful, what the police officer did. And I would never dispute that as a former police officer. But they have been very good at working off the back of this racial division. The Muslim community, the Islamic movement in America, has perpetuated and widened the racial gap because they joined with Black Lives Matter. 2015, Nihad Awad, the head of CARE, said famously, "Black Lives Matter is now our campaign. Their agenda is our agenda. So it's their cause is our cause." So what they're saying, in essence, let's be very clear what they're really saying. They're saying, we don't want any profiling of Muslims. In my opinion, the Muslim Brotherhood cares and care would care less about black people because they're seeing it as an agenda item. They're seeing it as a pathway to get what they want. So if you remove the ability of law enforcement to go after those, because what did I say earlier, Jim? Law enforcement, and when I've done counterterrorism training, when I've worked with people in the FBI and Joint Terrorism Task Force, the majority of terrorism cases in the United States, the overwhelming majority, unfortunately, are Muslims. That's just the reality. So think about now if law enforcement says, I don't have a right to look at a Muslim suspect simply because they're Muslim. Simply because they're Muslim, I'm prohibited from considering them because of ideology, because of their beliefs, because of what mosque they attend or who they associate with. Yet we could, you know, do this with white American Christians. If you're a white American Christian and you associate with other patriots, you're now a white supremacist. You're now a domestic terrorist. You're now a Christian supremacist. So law enforcement is being trained, the FBI is being trained under this diversity training that CARE is responsible for to target and go after white Christian America, particularly if you're a white Christian male. But if you're Muslim, uh-uh. So in my opinion, they're simply just freeloading off the back of the whole racial, you know, the black race issue to get their agenda, and it's despicable. It's sickening, and it's, again, extremely dangerous to our national security.
You know, we could actually go through each of these points and spend much more time, but friends, we're trying to give you an overview. And another part of this agenda, the 100-day agenda from CARE to a Biden-Harris administration, is to what they call defending constitutional rights in schools, workplace, and elsewhere, demanding the ability for all Americans the right to boycott without government interference. Sharma, I thought at first that's kind of funny, the right to boycott, but is this an attempt then to push BDS against Israel, the boycott, divest, and sanction?
Bingo, you got it. That's exactly right. There are two things. One is to push the BDS movement even in elementary schools, and two, if you notice in the document, they also focus the fact that they want no restrictions on Palestinian groups, particularly on college campuses. We know that one of the places that the BDS movement festers and then really, you know, feeds is on college campuses. This is where pro-Hamas, again, let's go back to this. CARE is Hamas. Hamas is a terrorist organization. Hamas is Gaza. Hamas is what we know Hamas to be. And so CARE has openly advocated for support of Hamas. They will not denounce Hamas. And so they support pro-Palestinian groups that are really Hamas on college campuses and across, even as I said, it's now trickling down into elementary school. So, Jim, you're going to see, if this agenda is successful, you're going to see an absolute rise of anti-Semitism. Already it's high. Already the FBI, and let's be very clear, too, the Muslim Brotherhood and CARE, they play victims better than, I mean, they should win an Academy Award, an Oscar, for how well they play the victim in this country about their supposed persecution.
Well, I tell you what, we're going to come back with that point. Sharma Hadian is our guest. A quick 60-second break. We're discussing the first 100 days agenda. It's being put upon the Biden-Harris administration by the Council on American-Islamic Relations. We'll be right back.
High in the Swiss Alps, Lucian, a lonely, frightened 13-year-old, is overtaken by catastrophic events as he causes little Danny to fall off of a cliff. Lucian finds himself an outcast with his family, his school friends, and especially the very hostile Annette, the sister of Danny.
Danny, I've told you not to talk to Lucian. He'll only hurt you again.
Bitterness and anger set in. As Lucian finds solitude in the nearby woods, he comes across a woodcarver who helps him find the peace he was looking for, but not only changes his life, but that of others as well.
You may be able to run away from the village, but you can't run away from yourself.
Treasures of the Snow quickly captures the heart. It's a story of friendship, forgiveness, and redemption. Treasures of the Snow is available on DVD for a donation of $16 or more by calling VCY America at 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, and friends, there are many who are lining up at the door of a supposed Biden-Harris administration. The jury is still out on that. We know there's many things happening in states and the Electoral College certification to happen next week, but we're looking at examining what is ahead should a Biden administration come into being. We have seen already a matter of the Secular Democrats of America and totally wipe out religious liberty across this land. We've seen Human Rights Campaign and their push for LGBTQ special rights across this land, and certainly to take away any vestige of religious liberty from churches that do not agree with the so-called Equality Act. Today, we're looking at the first 100 days as being pushed by CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, Hamas CARE, as it relates to their wish list. I shouldn't say wish list, their demand list of a Biden administration as well. Sharam Hadian is our guest. Sharam is a former Muslim. He knows from whence he speaks. And we're going through, just in part, this multiple-page document that has been released recently pushing for these very aspects. Sharam, we were talking about the whole aspect of the BDS movement against Israel. You were commenting here just before the break about the anti-Semitism increase and the, well, you said that there could be an Academy Award given by, you know, to groups like CARE for trying to tout that their numbers are going up, hate crimes against Muslims here across the land.
Well, you know, facts are a stubborn thing. And so, you know, let's deal with facts. And the facts are that other than right after 9/11, where there was a small spike in what the FBI calls, religious violence or hate crimes that were religiously motivated, there has not been a spike and for Muslims. The spike has been against Jews. And the FBI, the last 10 years, if you look at their statistics, and I have this in one of my presentations that I do called War on Christians, and I talk about the rise of anti-Semitism because they're connected, the rise of Christian persecution and anti-Semitism. Jim, I talk about the FBI's own statistics, that the statistical average for the last 10 years is 61% of all religiously motivated hate crimes are against Jews. And in 2019, we saw that number increase globally, other than in Iran, across the Middle East and in the United States. So now, if you get rid of the BDS, the anti-BDS movement, meaning if they're able to openly boycott and push for corporations, I mean, we saw what Black Lives Matter can do with corporations, right? We saw that when corporations jump on board with Black Lives Matter, they'll rapidly, overnight, transform the culture.
Right.
Guess what they do, what they can do if CARE can get the BDS movement, the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement really rolling. And again, I said earlier, it starts on the college campuses. It starts, and now they're trying to teach, just like they're trying to teach Black Lives Matter curriculum in the schools, they're going to teach this BDS curriculum in the schools. That's ultimately what they're pushing for. And a Biden-Harris administration with the Department of Education will be glad to oblige CARE, because again, let's not forget what Biden said. I want Muslims to be involved at every level of my administration. When he engaged Linda Sarsour and a group called MGAGE and Muslim Power, this is very problematic if Biden Harris get into office. Election fraud aside, it's very problematic.
Sharam, I'm looking at this document, and they seem to speak out against Saudi Arabia. Why is that?
Well, this is a very interesting thing. It caught my attention because for several years now, probably for the last 2-3 years, we've been witnessing that there is a shift in the Muslim power in the Muslim world. We know Iran, of course, is positioning itself to be the Shia Muslim power. And they are actively working to undermine our elections. I think it's going to be very clear, Lord willing, when this evidence comes out, that Iran was part of the the infiltration and the interference against our election, as was China, as was Russia. I think that will be proven out. China is a no-brainer. You know, we know that with their purchasing $400 million of the Dominion voting system in October. However, Turkey potentially is also part of that because of their connections to Venezuela. And Turkey is now really the seat of the Muslim Brotherhood. The Muslim Brotherhood is really being operated from Turkey, no longer from Saudi. And the Iranians are working against the Saudis. Because what do you see happening in Saudi, Jim? What do you see happening in United Arab Emirates, in that part of the Muslim world, in the Arab world? They're now making alliances with Israel.
Yes, sir.
They're now coming. Sorry, go ahead.
You said, yes, sir, I was agreeing with you.
Yeah, yeah. So as that's happening, there is this shift and this division happening in the Muslim world because, of course, CARE is pro-Hamas. CARE is pro-Palestinian. And so they have to be seen as the ones who are battling Israel as the oppressors, as the apartheid nation, as the little Satan, as Iran called them. So I think it's interesting that they want the United States military and their advisors to disengage from Yemen and from Saudi and United Arab Emirates. And let's not forget, I said earlier, United Arab Emirates labeled the Muslim Brotherhood as a terrorist organization.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a rift here, which is a very interesting rift. Let's pray that this rift is the beginning of the fall of ultimately this Islamic coalition globally that has gained steam over the last, 30, 40 years.
Shahram Haidian with us here today. Shahram, you've referenced a couple of times a pledge that was really made by Joe Biden as he was running about including Muslims at every level of the administration. And when we look at this 100-day push, within the first 100 days of a Biden-Harris administration, they are saying they want to build a more inclusive representation of American Muslims in the federal government. Here's what they say: to embrace, hire, work with, and consider policy advice from American Muslims and Muslim community organizations. How do you like those words, embrace, hire, and work with?
Well, yeah, it's all code for Muslim power. That's why I just mentioned that group. There's a group called Muslim Power. That's literally what it's called. And it is a group that is focused on their vision is what initially happened in Egypt recently in 2011 with the so-called Arab Spring. And they want to bring Muslim power to bear one way or another, even if it means through revolution. But better if they can do it through an administration that is going to open the floodgates for them. Like as I mentioned earlier in Minnesota, where you have a foolish leftist, foolish Democrats that open the floodgates and allow CARE and the Islamic movement to gain power. And now look at the power they have with Keith Ellison, Ilhan Omar. Ellison's son is on the Minneapolis City Council and many other positions throughout that area. So what it's really saying is, we want Muslim power. We want Muslims who are going to be hired. So it's not about the right candidate. It's not about the best qualified candidate. No, no. We want you, Mr. Biden, to hire Muslims, bring them into key positions of power, like Obama did, but now on steroids. Because they're 12 years later, they're way more brazen than when he first came into office. And certainly, they're even further along than they were in 2016 when he left office. They want to be decision makers. And this is the adage that we have said for many years. No longer is the fox in the hen house. The fox wants to redecorate the hen house. And that's what they ultimately want to do. And it begins not just at the policy level, Jim, but then it's going to go into the law enforcement element, into the element of Congress with lawmaking. And they're going to be the voice speaking into the ear of Kamala Harris, more than likely, who is an avowed Marxist, but also sympathetic when working with the Muslim community. Let's not forget Marxists and Muslims work very well together throughout history. I saw this firsthand in Iran.
Folks, and understand this. I mean, this document is even calling for the removal of roadblocks for security clearances. Sharam, here's point number 25, to overhaul existing vetting practices that rely on alt-right and Islamophobic online resources on American Muslims and remove additional roadblocks and security clearances for Muslim candidates for positions in government. Get rid of those roadblocks, remove that vetting process. They need to have security clearances. That ought to, you know, raise the eyebrows of more than one person here in the studio.
Well, absolutely. I mean, this is, let me, I'm not trying to be fear mongering. This is terrifying. This is very, very concerning when we look at how dangerous and unsafe we were under an Obama administration with the amount of, because let's be clear, we're not talking about the average Muslim on the street. We're talking about these are Sharia compliant, Sharia promoting jihadis. They are jihadis in suits. Kerr, Nihad Awad, Linda Sarsour, Rashida Tlaib, and all of the other lower level individuals they have running the Muslim Brotherhood groups, like M-Gage, like the Muslim American Society, and the group that why is it it's escaping me? It'll come back to me in a minute. Anyway, the groups that are working at the federal level, at the state level, it should be very, very, very concerning that they want to remove all barriers to the checks and balances. The reality is the reality. The danger of attacks, the danger of sedition, when you have Sharia promoting jihadis, what they want is to come into the U.S. government and systematically change all policies and procedures so that they can impose Sharia law. That's the reality. That's where we're going. And now we've seen that in Canada. We've seen that in Australia. We're seeing that in New Zealand. My Lord, look what's happening in New Zealand with the infiltration there. We've seen that obviously in Western Europe. So this is not something that is speculative, Jim. We know this is what their agenda is.
Friends.
Ultimately, Sharia governance, starting at the local level. And here's a prediction that I've made, and this is just only my opinion. It doesn't reflect VCY or you, just my opinion. But I believe after 4 years, if Biden gets in, Biden-Harris administration, after 4 years, this type of group like CARE, they will declare America the upper house of Islam, not just Minnesota or Michigan, but America the upper house of Islam. That's how much inroads I think they'll have in the next 4 years. And that's why people who are saying, oh, well, you know, we lost 2020. Oh, well, whatever, which we didn't lose. I don't believe we lost 2020. But those are saying that, oh, well, you'll have 2024. Jim, I don't think we'll recognize this nation in 2024 if we don't push back against this stuff now.
Sharam Haidi and our guest here today on Crosstalk. Our telephone number, 800-733-9829. Time is limited, so a brief comment or a question that you might have for Sharam Haidi, 800-733-9829. We're discussing a document that has come out recently called The First 100 Days, Biden-Harris Administration, Restoring the Rights of American Muslims and Advancing Justice for All Americans. And folks, this gets into what I believe is an area 2, point 23, dealing with Sharia finance. There is a point, item number 32 is dealing with opposing what they call Israel's illegal occupation of Palestinian territories. I mean, target against Israel. But I know our time is limited here. We're going to take a break. We'll come back to your phone calls for the final segment here today on Crosstalk. Back in a minute here on the VCY American Network. Sharam Haidian with us. His website, TILProject.com. You're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewreport.com. Recently, a friend of mine in the intelligence arena sent me a report that showed that the National Center for Counterterrorism is classifying, along with the FBI, as potential extremist, potential violent extremist, worthy of being monitored, anyone that complains about their perceived threat to their Second Amendment right. Yes, my friends, we've reached the day where the one that is the potential extremist or terrorist is American men, conservative, constitutionalist, Christian men. This has been going on for several years, back to the Obama administration and the Department of Homeland Security that wanted to label as potential terrorists people interested in the pro-life issue, national sovereignty, or even Bible prophecy. We need to be aware of the fact that we Americans are being set up by our own government as the problem, as the Marxist and Islamists take over the power centers of our nation.
Shahram Hedian is our guest, and friends, I know we've taken a lot of time to get out information. There's more. We've run out of time. We want you to have a segment as well here on the program, so we're asking if you have a comment, keep it very brief. If you have a question, get right to your point, and Shahram will address it here today on Crosstalk. Again, his website, TILproject.com. Fred in Milwaukee, you're on the air.
Yes, I wanted to let you folks know that Islam can be defeated by studying the false history of Islam and then sharing it and publishing it through the ministries in America and around the world. It's all documented by Jay Green, J-A-Y-G-R-E-E-N, Islam, and he's been at it about 50 years, and it's all documented with a bunch of people and foreign language studiers and so on.
Okay, any thoughts, Shahram, about exposing the history of Islam?
Yeah, I think that's part of the equation, is that we have to go back and expose its false narrative, its claim that it is Abrahamic and a part of the three great faiths and all those things. So I think that's all very important, yeah. And you know, some of this has to be dealt with by being more targeted, because sometimes when you just attack Islam broadly, you know, you get shut down. But I think we can target and specifically attack CARE and this jihadist movement, particularly Sharia movement, and I think we can be very effective as well that way to hopefully wake people up.
And, let's go.
This is a national security threat.
Let's go to Oregon. Christy, you're on the air.
Hi. I was wondering what you, Shahram, think about, we know that China has also infiltrated our country, and how do you think that aspect will play out with the Islam aspect?
Well, it's a very interesting aspect because I think long term it will not play out well, as we see with China's treatment of Muslims there. But in the short term, they're working together. This is what we call the red-green axis that I mentioned earlier, where China is on the red side and Islam, the Brotherhood, is on the right side. So they're working together because of the UN's agenda, the Agenda 2021, 2030, where they're giving special treatment to Muslims. And then China is the model for the governance, but in the long run, it will not be good for the Muslims if they, persist in working with China.
Mark in Monroe, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yes, my question is, if in fact Joe Biden, in my opinion, fraudulently is given the presidency, who do you think is actually going to end up running the position? Could it be actually Obama's fourth term, instead of Kamala Harris, who, when she did run for...
Okay, let me have him answer the question here. Who's calling the shots? Who's running the show?
I think he's very astute. I think Obama is running the show. I think that was the plan all along. Let's not forget that I think the plan was 8 years of Hillary and then followed potentially by 4 years of Michelle. So, Michelle Obama. So I think Obama, that's why he hasn't left D.C. I think he's running the deep state show, and he will control Biden and Kamala. I think there's too much on them, and he'll control them, and that's ultimately who will run the show at the U.S. level, not precluding those who are of the globalist level of that.
Mark,
but
thanks.
Obama has not left. He's still running things.
Thanks for the call here, and I know because time is short, we're going quickly and taking your questions and comments. Jan, Upper Michigan, you're on the air.
Hi, yes, thank you. I would have a question. Can't the liberal left see that when the upper house gets into play and they want to declare Sharia, the Muslims, they think they have their number, and then people in the left who got them in are of no value to them, won't their heads roll along with the rest of us when they declare Sharia and rest of us infidels?
Thank you, Jan.
Yes, exactly right, Jan. What's going to happen, and again, this is not speculation. We've seen this time and time again. I saw it in Iran firsthand. the Marxists who brought the Islamists into Iran, and then they were summarily rounded up and imprisoned and tortured and some killed. We saw this in Western Europe. We're seeing it in Western Europe. And now we're going to see it here in the U.S. The left is blind. They are spiritually depraved. And because of that blindness, they don't see what you and I see, which is that once the Islamic house gets the upper, once Islam gets the upper house, as you said, they're going to turn on those who are the unbelievers and the infidels, the feminists, the LGBT, the secular humanists. They're the first ones to go and be labeled as infidels and unbelievers. This is the blindness and the foolishness of the left partnering and trying to help give the upper hand to the Islamic movement.
Jan, thank you for the call. We're going to Christine next. And Racine, you're on the air.
Yes, Sharam, thank you for everything you do. I want to know what you would advise us as believers, churches that are not even liberal churches, that have lulled people to sleep with the lack of no political involvement, but yet the leftists have inherently infiltrated these evangelical churches. And I want to know what you would suggest to help people to think clearly on these matters, because they have stuck their heads in the sand and they feel they're not supposed to be involved.
Thank you, Christine. How do we wake people up here, Sharam? How do we wake up the church?
That's a whole other show that we need to do. But the short answer is, I think it's going to be up to individual Christians. I really do. I think that many denominations are so compromised, and unfortunately many churches, I don't wait for your pastor. That's all I can say. It's time for individual Christians to step up to the responsibility that God's called us to do. And you're right. Most churches won't talk about anything deemed political. It is why we're in the mess we're in. We need to step up. We need to help educate other believers, other family members, and be bold. I guess the only thing I can say is, don't be silenced right now. Be bold. Speak up on these issues. They don't like you. They're going to hate you. It's okay. But we got to not be silent. And one of our prayers is that God would raise up more churches and pastors and believers that understand we love God first. But then this is what we're doing here in Tennessee, Jim. We love God first, but we're trying to build a patriotic community that says we also still love our nation, and we're praying for our nation, and we're not going to cower from any political issue that the Bible addresses.
We're going to try and squeeze Bob in. Coleman, you're on the air. Hello, Bob.
Hello.
Very quickly, we're almost out of time.
Okay. I just can't understand why the news, or even you people, aren't mentioning anything about what Obama said in October. He said that they were going to have an illegal voting machine and bragged about.
Well, we did play that, Bob. We played that clip more than once here on the program. And thank you for raising that issue again. Thank you. Sharam, wow, could have used another hour here today. We've run out of time, but thank you so much for helping to expose this 100-day agenda.
Thank you, Jim. Thanks for everybody. And stay strong and pray. We got to pray that God will not allow Biden and Harris in there.
TILproject.com, TILproject.com, led by Sharam Hadian. And folks, you're informed. Share with others the information you learned from Crosstalk here on VCY America. Have a blessed afternoon.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.